أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا مولانا سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد فاتح لما أغلق خاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بحق وهادي لصراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت عليم حكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah, I'm just going to cancel my sessions and ask the imam to keep talking, and then I can just sit here, alhamdulillah, and benefit from that, mashallah. Imam is sharing some things that are quite near and dear to me, I would say. Some of you may know, after my conversion, I spent about five years in Damascus studying Islam. I didn't have a job, I didn't have to work or anything else, alhamdulillah. And studying Arabic and what we call this tazkiyah, spirituality or purification of the heart, whatever one wants to say, but the other Islamic sciences, and tafsir and hadith and these types of things. And one of the things that I think about is, why am I not able to engage, or how come I am not engaging material or reviewing or reading like I was at that time during my years in Damascus. And Sheikh Hamza just recently wrote an article about being distracted in this age that we're in right now. And what are some of the distractions? And it made me think about, that's the reason. Because I'm distracted. I have things now in my life that were not there that are a distraction for me. Now there are other things too. I have children now. I didn't have children at that time, and alhamdulillah, they take a lot of your time and attention, and we thank Allah for that. But I had to start thinking about these things. If I am serious about my muraja'ah of Qur'an, of reviewing my Qur'an, if I am serious about reading the Qur'an, how can I justify that if I just spent X amount of time on Facebook? I'm asking myself this question. And what the answer led me to do was to deactivate my Facebook. That's real to me, because I can no longer play the game that I know the things that are there that are detrimental to me, into my spiritual progression, into my spiritual development, and ignore them and think that somehow I'm going to continue to do the same thing over again and expect a different outcome. Because there was a great scientist who said that is the definition of insanity, whose name was Albert Einstein. He said to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome is insanity. So these are the things that Imam Ghazali is getting at. That when you see these blameworthy traits, when we see these things inside of ourselves that we know are impediments to our potential, all of us have the potential to be great. All of us have the potential to be great. It is the impediments that we place upon ourselves that prevent us from allowing that ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity and giving and the gifts that He has blessed us with that we hold ourselves back. We hold ourselves back. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us. MashaAllah, as the Imam said, that many of us came here for perhaps a different or a better life. But we have to qualify that phrase of what does it actually mean? Does it mean material things? And if it is, then we're caught up on that treadmill. Because there will always be better material things. Inshallah ta'ala, we're going to touch on some of that today, but I just wanted to share that with you. I don't say that to say, oh, mashallah, I'm so spiritually disciplined, I disconnected my Facebook. No. No. But I wanted to share that with you because at times I feel that when we hear things from others, we say, mashallah, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can fast on Mondays and Thursdays. Maybe I can fast on the white days. Maybe I can read 2.5 pages of Quran each day, committed to it, never leaving it, and then bump that up to 5, and then bump that up to 10, and then bump that up to a juz. If I wanted to commit myself to a regimen of health, I wouldn't walk in the gym and start grabbing all of the weights and putting it on and start lifting. No. First I grab the 10-pound, start do some lifting. If I was running, I'm not going to start off running a marathon. I'm going to start off probably with walking. Right? Let's look at those things that are impeding us from just getting off of the couch and starting to walk. What are they in our lives? And we know what they are. And inshallah ta'ala, when we have these openings, when we have these nafahat, these breezes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that wake us up and that remind us of the ultimate reality, that we will be willing to avail ourselves to those breezes and make the changes in our lives that we know are for our betterment. That's what this whole game is about. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life to test which of you is best in actions. Surah Al-Mulk. So in between those two times, it's all a test. Alhamdulillah, we have an incredible teacher, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, that when his teachings are implemented, the veils begin to be lifted, and we see things in reality as they are, and not as we want them to be. Alhamdulillah. I'm going to start off, inshallah ta'ala, with something on page 30, and I may not have mentioned it when I sent the initial information, so some of you may not have it that have the photocopies. And if not, my apologies, but inshallah ta'ala, it's a section that is, I feel, is of importance. So actually, I want to go back, actually on page 26. We're going to start on page 26, because one of the things, as I mentioned yesterday in the khutbah, is just this acknowledging the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this gift. This day is a gift. It's not promised to any of us. It's not guaranteed to any of us. And each one of them is a gift. Alhamdulillah. You know, how do we feel when someone gives us a gift? MashaAllah. Right? When someone gives us a gift, how do we feel? We feel alhamdulillah. Feel blessed and the generosity. And so when we begin to think of this day, each day, as a gift, it changes how we perhaps will interact with that day and what will be meaningful in that day and what are the things that I can cut out from that day and how will I begin to order and structure that day, right? With all of the obligations that we have of work and family and study and everything else in between. But ultimately, how do those things become situated in my spiritual, right, realities? And so just looking at this, and very quickly I want to just, you know, when we are when we wake up here, he says, when you wake from sleep, try to awake before dawn. This is something, what he's talking about, actually, he's talking about here, waking up before Fajr. He's talking about waking up before Fajr. May Allah give us the himmah to get up for Fajr. Let's start there. Right? Just making sure that we are waking up for Fajr. Every day. So in waking up for that Fajr, he says, let the first words in your heart and on your tongue be the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And he gives a bunch of ad'iyah, plural of du'a. He gives a bunch of supplications to make. But first, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatina wa ilayhi an-nushur. All praise is to Allah who has brought us back to life after causing us to die. What is mentioning here, and to whom shall be the resurrection, wa ilayhi an-nushur. It's a reminder. Death, they say, is a sister, or sleep is the sister of death. But alhamdulillah, because what I think about in this, alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعد ما أماتنا, I have a lot of work to do in this day. I still have debts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have to make sure are taken care of. Right? I just want to get the account to zero. I've got some overdrafts that I need to deal with, man. Right? And alhamdulillah, Allah has given me this day and given me this opportunity to rectify them. And through His generosity and through His mercy and through His ability and through His giving, alhamdulillah, we have that opportunity. And then it's a reminder that yes, even though I've been given life on this day, wa ilayhi nushur, I'm going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it could be this day. Allahu a'lam. But it orients us. Right? It orients us and it grounds us. And that's what I was saying yesterday last night when I was saying that it's not to be morbid, not at all. But it's to open up to us another reality that makes in our engagement with people, it makes it that much more meaningful. Because nothing is guaranteed. It reminds me when I was the imam in New Haven, we got a call from Fairfield University. It was a university in Connecticut, very, very good school. And they had a group of, their professor had reached out to me and said, I would like to bring a group to the masjid. If we could sit with you before the khutbah and learn about Islam, some basics of Islam, and kind of see the masjid, and if we could stay for the khutbah, and I said, sure, no problem, absolutely. We do this quite often with groups, and it would be our honor. That morning, this was on Thursday night, that morning, I received a call from the professor that they would not be attending because one of the young male students who was in the group had passed away that night. And again, I don't mention this to be morbid, but I mention it for us to realize that, because for me, we all this talk now about being mindful. We hear it everywhere now. Mindfulness practice. Come join my mindfulness group. Here's a mindfulness email for you. Everything is about mindfulness now. But where's the mindfulness for us as Muslims? Ibn Ata'illah Iskandari, in my opinion, he gives the best explanation of mindfulness when he says, do not look at the insignificance of a breath, but rather look at the ability of the one who can take the soul in between breaths. There's going to be a time where I will inhale and I will never exhale again. And there's a time when I'm going to exhale and I will never inhale again. That's mindfulness. And we can push ourselves to that place, then we have become present with ourselves. And we will be present with every single person and every single part of the creation, because he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was mab'uthan rahmatan lil alameen. He was sent as a mercy to all of creation. That's what we're trying to get to. That's the reality of mindfulness in our tradition. It's with every breath, alhamdulillah. With the exhale, alhamdulillah. With the inhale, alhamdulillah. And then let that become the reality of the heart. I'm talking with you, and I'm present with you, and I'm engaged with you, and my heart is alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. That's what we want to move to. And we want to push out those things that are going to stop me from that. We want to push out those things that are distracting me from that. It's having those reminders. Na'am. Alhamdulillah. Again, so whatever it is from here that speaks to you, whatever it is in here that speaks to you, you make that yours. Make it yours. And maybe it's a combination of these, or maybe it's even something from yourself. That's fine too. But whatever it is, allow it to be something that is meaningful and makes sense to you. You get up and jump out of bed and do 10 jumping jacks and say takbir on all 10, alhamdulillah. If that's what works for you, alhamdulillah. But the reality is that something happens. The goal is that something happens. That we're acknowledging that reality. And again, that then orients us for that day. It orients us for that day. Because the human being, why? Sumiya al-insan insanan liyannahu nasiya. That the human being is named the human being in Arabic, insan in Arabic, comes from the root nasiya, the verb, which is to forget. Because we are the creature that forgets. That's our reality. And that's why the Quran is called a dhikr, a reminder. It's constantly reminding us of the ultimate reality through its stories, through its examples, through its warnings, through its promises. It's constantly reminding us because we forget. Alhamdulillah. We want to make those moments of forgetfulness shorter. We want to make those moments of forgetfulness shorter. I spoke yesterday about being in a state of wudu. About us, you know, being in a state of wudu, and that it's a protection for the believer. What I wanted to walk through here very quickly, what I don't want to walk through very quickly, actually. What I want to walk through is on page 30, where he talks about here just some of the du'as, some of the supplications when making wudu. I just want to bring our attention to that for a moment, because a lot of times, I have four children. Allah bless them and all of the children. Some of the times I walk into the bathroom of my house and it looks like there was some sort of SeaWorld exhibition there, you know? Like there was Free Willy was in town or something like this. It's just water everywhere and I'm thinking, mashallah. You know, where is the mindfulness in this wudu? Yeah, banat, I have four daughters. You know, so I think about that. Alhamdulillah, may Allah allow us to continue to learn from our children. MashaAllah, they are great teachers. Because they are a reflection of us. They are a reflection of us. When you want to see yourself, look into your children. So, I think about this idea of slowing down in our wudu. Right? Slowing down. But that also comes in the preparation of what Imam Ghazali is talking about of making order of our ibadah. So I'm not rushing to make that dhuhr. I'm not rushing to make that asr because there's only a few minutes left. If that's the case, what do you think the wudu is going to be like? Probably not going to be too present in it. Right? Look at some of the du'as that he's talking about here. That just when he talks about washing the hands, and he's talking about when wudu is inside of a vessel, when you have water containing it, dipping the hands into the vessel, but we're talking, it's different, we have a different reality right now. But he's talking about when you first begin to wash your hands. Oh my Lord, Truly, I beg of you the good of what shall be and blessings, and I seek refuge of you from the bad that shall be and from loss. So again, just orienting ourselves for that wudu to be that first step in our ibadah. And I heard, mashallah, one of our teachers say, and this really struck me, they said the first thing you wash in wudu is your heart. The first thing you wash in wudu is your heart. Making tawbah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allahumma inni atubu ilayk. Allahumma inni atubu ilayk. O Allah, I seek repentance in you. O Allah, forgive me. Alhamdulillah. Allah loves that from the servant. Allah loves that from his servant. Alhamdulillah. So that then, in rinsing out the mouth and the nose first, when rinsing out the mouth, O Allah, help me in reading your book and much remembrance of you. This is your wudu. This is your wudu. O Allah, when the water is in my mouth, what am I thinking about? Thinking about the mouth is used for reading your book and for making dhikr. O Allah, increase me in that. وَثَبِّتْنِي بِقَوْلِ الْثَابِتٍ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. He's talking about, this is a verse of the Qur'an. Right? Make this firm in the dunya and the akhirah. Make this word firm in the dunya and the akhirah. In the nose, O Allah, in rinsing out our nose, let me smell of the fragrance of paradise and that you may be pleased with me. And as you blow the water out, O Allah, I seek refuge in you. Inni a'udhu bika from the foul smells of the fire and the evil of that abode. Right? This is orienting ourselves. This is bringing, creating that presence before the salat. This is the hurdler stretch and the other stretches that runners would do. Right? As you get ready now to perform that. Alhamdulillah, the face. O Allah, make radiant my face with your light on the day when you make radiant the faces of your friends. And do not shroud my face, do not cover my face in darkness on the day when you cover the faces with darkness, when you cover the faces of your enemies with darkness. May Allah protect us from ever being in that position. Anyone that we love and care about. Anyone that we love and care about. May Allah make that a reality for all of His creation. The arms, O Allah, give me my book of deeds in my right hand and judge me with leniency. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابُهُ بِيَمِينِي فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسِبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Allah says, the one who has been given his book of deeds in his right hand will have an easy judgment. Now I'm thinking about that in my wudu. Allah, give me my book in my right hand. Right? And seeking refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in you from giving my book and deeds in my left hand. O wara dhahri, as the ayat continues. Or from behind my back. Or from behind my back. But again, bringing us into this presence. And O Allah, shower me with your mercy when we wipe our head. Shower over me your mercy. And rain down on me your blessings, and shade me on the shade of your throne, when there will be no shade but your shade. Right? Sab'atun yadhilluhum Allah. Imam mentioned the hadith yesterday. Yawm la dhilla illa dhilluhu. That seven groups of people will be under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a day when there is no shade. Thinking of the intense heat that's on the head, wiping that head, put me in that shade, Ya Allah. Make my hair and my skin and my face forbidden for the fire. But again, orienting ourselves. Orienting ourselves. And the ears, O Allah, make me of those who listen to the words, to your words, and take the best of it. And take the best of it. اجعلني من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. The dua of the Prophet ﷺ. And, O Allah, let me be with the obedient ones, hear the caller to heaven. Let me be with the obedient ones and hear the caller to heaven. And the neck, O Allah, free my neck from the fire and save me from the chains and the shackles of punishment. And the feet, O Allah, make my feet firm on the sirat, on the day that feet will slip and fall into the fire while washing the left foot. O Allah, make my feet firm on the day when feet will slip on that. Alhamdulillah. This is a great entrance, and it's a reminder for myself, tabarakallah. And then at the end of the wudu, there's a beautiful dua here. I bear witness that there is no good except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger. Glory be to Allah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك واشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أملت سوءا وظلمت نفسي. Right? After this will do, I bear witness that there is no good save you, and I have done evil and I have wronged my soul. I seek refuge in you, forgiveness of you, and turn to you. And what is the reward of all of this? فضل عمال. Because we understand what's in it for me. What's in it for you? Whoever makes this supplication in his ablution will have all of his sins departed from his limbs. His ablution will be stamped, the wudu will be stamped with the seal of approval, and it will ascend beneath the throne, where it will stay glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reward will remain written until Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is just making wudu. This is just the wudu, which is the doorway to the salat. Now what if we prayed two raka'ats and we walked in and we were mindful of the words that we said from the time that we made the wudu until that salat? That I didn't have a bad word in between there. Right? This is the presence in our heart that we're looking for and in our soul that we want. This is the path, inshallah, that we want to be trotting on. But again, so now waking up, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we make that wudu. And here's the thing, don't, because what shaitan will say, like, you'll never be able to remember those du'as, you'll never be able to remember, just forget it. No. Then just take a little bit of it. Oh Allah, give me my book in my right hand. Oh Allah, don't make my book ever come in my left hand. Oh Allah, protect me from just a small portion that you can remember, then memorize that. But if you can do more, then do more. That's the idea of going up in weight when you begin to work out or running further on your next run. If you can only memorize the first portion of it, memorize the first portion of it and thank Allah for it. And ask dua, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the ability to memorize it. That's not trusting in ourselves, that's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate it. Inshallah ta'ala, I want to move to this dua that I think is just incredibly beautiful here, and I'm not going to go into the whole, you know, part about, you know, the day of how it's broken up here. I'm just going to read certain selections of it. I'm on page 43, and again, I don't know if you have that in the handouts. If not, again, I apologize. I'll call this the du'a of light, nur, and it's beautiful when you take a step back. I will read it in English and Arabic though, just for Allahumma ja'alni nuran fi qalbi wa nuran fi qabri wa nuran fi sam'i wa nuran fi basari wa nuran fi sha'ri wa nuran fi bashari wa nuran fi lahmi wa nuran fi dami wa nuran fi 'idami ونورا من بين يدي ونورا من خلفي ونورا من عن يميني ونورا عن شمالي ونورا من فوقي ونورا من تحتي اللهم زدني نورا أعطني نورا وجعلني نورا. اللهم آمين. Let's look at this dua for a moment. In my opinion, we are in times of darkness right now, on one level. But Allahu Nur as-samawati wal-ard. There are outward realities and there are inward realities. And it will always be that way. It always has been. There's always a struggle between good and bad, or between good and evil. We want to be those people of light, of nur. We want that nur, that light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to permeate every single aspect of our being. And the beautiful thing about this, look at the first thing that he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, starts off with. Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nuran. The first thing I want illuminated is the heart. Why? Someone can answer. Why the heart? The essence of our being. It's the command and control center, if you will. Al-Iman ma waqara fil qalb wa saddaqahu al-amal, the Prophet ﷺ said. That Iman is that which establishes itself and settles itself in the heart, and the limbs will then testify to it. Ala inna fi jasadi mudgha idha salaha salaha jasadu kullu idha fasada fasada jasadu kullu ala wa hil qalb. The Prophet ﷺ said, should I not inform you of a morsel of flesh in the body? If it is pure, the entire body is pure. And if it is corrupted, the entire body is corrupted. Shall I not tell you what it is? It is the heart. And if you think about it, even from a physical aspect, on a cellular level, blood pumps into, and excuse me, doctor, for speaking in front of you on this, alhamdulillah, my apologies. I get nervous and, you know, I get stuck about medicine in front of doctors. But on a cellular level, and please correct me if I'm wrong, right? Blood pumps into our cells. Could we say that? Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Wafaq. Muttafiqun alayh. From hadith, we say, mashallah, alhamdulillah, I have the. So if you think about that, if that heart is pure, then that purity is going to make it into every cell of your body, i.e. the entire body is pure. And if that heart is corrupted, that corrupted blood is going to make it into, right? So now we just make a metaphorical reality of that, of how it gets into the whole body. But that nur is what we want. So he starts off, Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nuran. The first thing he asks for in that dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is light in the heart. Because if it's light in the heart, then it will be easier to ask for the second thing he asks for. What's the second thing he asks for? Light in the qabr, in the grave. But if that was not light in the heart in this world, then how would I be desirous of light in the grave if I didn't live a life of light on this side? You see, there's a hikmah. And now watch what he does here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he goes to وَجَعَلْ نُورًا فِي السَّمْعِ, in my hearing. Now the interesting thing about hearing is, this is something I just picked up the other day because we have a student, please subscribe to this if you listen to podcasts, I don't know, but we have a student at Zaytuna, he has a podcast, it's called American Submitter. American Submitter. And it's, mashallah, it's really good. Before him coming to Zaytuna and finding his path to Islam and like this, he had a background where he was in music and like this, so he basically took those skills now and put it into this podcast. It literally sounds like NPR. I heard it the other day, it was incredible. But he was saying that he feels that the medium for storytelling for Muslims is podcasts. I said, okay, interesting, we started listening. And I was talking, he was in my office, we were talking, and I started to think about it. Every time in Quran, when hearing and seeing are mentioned, the sama' is taqdeem al-basr. Hearing is put before sight. And in Quran, there is something which is a taraqqi, is an order of things. Things are not just arbitrarily placed in ayat. When Allah says that He is Aziz al-Ghafur al-Rahim or whatever, there's a reason for why they are in this order. So the fact that through the entire Quran, you have sama' placed over basr is an indication to you. And then, from the hikmah of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works, I was talking to another friend at Zaytuna, one of the faculty members there, just telling them this understanding, and I was said, yeah, I was looking at this in all of the ayats. There's this taqdeem, right? وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And he said, well, that's interesting, because I was just reading a tafsir the other day that said that the first faculty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala engaged us with, is the hearing. When he said, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Lord? And it was the hearing. So it's just powerful when you begin to connect these things, and then you understand why the Prophet ﷺ is always saying then, as-sama' over basar. Right? First is the hearing. Because we can become distracted when it's the sight. And that's what I think imagery is doing to us right now. And that was a big decision of me getting off of this Facebook, just being distracted by the images and losing the message. Losing the message. It's the message that is important to me, not the imagery around it. That's just me personally. Yes, sir.
Blind students do hips a third in the third of the time than kids who have both senses.
Mm-hmm. Marshall, did you hear that? So he was saying that students that are blind normally complete their hips in a time that it would take others, so at 33% faster, correct? Than others that who have both faculties. So then he goes, and then he says, Sama wal basar, and then look at this. He says, wa nuran fi sha'ri. What is sha'r? Is what? Sha'r is your hair. And then from sha'r, he moves to bashar. Bashar is your skin. And then he moves to laham. Laham is your flesh. And then from laham, he moves to idham, or dam. He moves to dam. Dam is your blood. And then from blood, he moves to idham. And if you look at this, what is he doing? He's taking you into your outer self, into your innermost self. He's taking you from your hair, to your skin, to your flesh, to your blood, to your bone. And that's your whole existence. Because he preceded all of that with وَجَعَلْ فِي قَلْبِ نُورًا Right? That heart, make it light. These supplications are incredible. Incredible. And then he continues, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by saying وَنُورًا بَيْنِ يَدَيْ وَنْ خَلْفِي وَعَنْ يَمِينِي وَنْ شِمَالِي وَنْ فَوْقِي وَتَحْتِي He says, that, you know, make light in front of me and behind me, on my right and on my left, and top of me and beneath me. Allahumma zidni nuran. And then increase me in light. Wa'atni nuran. And give me light. Waj'alni nuran. And make me, in my being, light. I mean, imagine we're starting off our day with that. That's how we start off our day. Thanking Allah for the moment that we wake up, having that presence in that first wudu, and then making this dua, this supplication of this light. Right? That's going to orient you in an entirely different way each day. Because what that does then, I'll share you a little story here. What it does is, One student, we were walking in Damascus. I'll share this story with you. We had just come out of a 3-day retreat with a scholar. Mashallah, it was amazing. He was teaching on the sciences of the inner being of the heart. And man, it felt like, mashallah, we were walking on the air, you know? And we came out of the lesson, and this young Syrian boy, or young boy, I don't know, he could have been any, young boy came out, and he had a straw. And he had a chickpea in the straw, and he proceeded to point the straw at my face and blow hard. And the chickpea came out and hit me right in the cheek. And my first step was to grab the young boy and tell him not to do that. My friend, as I began to walk forward, put his hand on my chest and just laughed. And he said to me, will you make a hisab for someone that Allah hasn't made a hisab for yet? will you have a hisab for someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not opened up a hisab for? See how Allah tests us? Just came out of this. I mean, I was on cloud 900, forget 9. MashaAllah, the Shaykh and the heart, and I'm there. I'm, you know, MashaAllah. And Allah tests us. And in that test, the reason why I mention that, because the brother was the same thing at a different time. He said, Dawood, he said, I was reading something here, and he was saying that he read something, and I want to share it with you. He said, that do you know the difference of the people of dunya and people of akhirah, right? Someone who is dunya oriented, that all of their concerns are in this world. And what it's like to be in the presence and the company of people who are akhirah oriented, oriented in the hereafter. And I said, no, what are they? He said, when you sit with the people of this world, they're going to tell you about all of their problems. I have this problem, I have that problem, and then there's this, and I've got to pay these bills. And he said that all of these problems make you feel like a speck in this dunya. And he said, the people of the akhirah, they too will tell you about these problems. But with it, they will say, Allahu Akbar. And with it, they will say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And with it, they will say, they will return it over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over and over and over again. And they will make all of these problems a speck in their existence. And he said, that's the reality of making Allahu Akbar. So I think about this in terms of getting up and orienting ourselves in the morning to have that day that we become people that are oriented in the akhirah, rather than people that are oriented and grounded and drowned in this world. I don't know how or what the... Personally, we as a family, we have not lived with a television for almost 20 years. And the reason for that is because there's benefit in it, yes. No doubt, there's benefit in television. I'm not here to say that there isn't. But I had to look at myself as to what was it doing for me to have all of this information in the morning about, you know, things that I can't change. Except for that it brings a preponderance of guilt and hurt upon me. And I have to ask myself about that. And I have to ask myself that question. Is it then becoming a distraction? Is it becoming a distraction? And I have to ask myself that question. But I think about that now in terms of filling that time and that space with other things such as this. And not rushing to a TV to see what's going on globally. I can catch it by reading real quick on my newsfeed and Google or whatever it's going to put up for me for that day. And just very quickly perusing and being able to choose what I want to read very quickly, that's it. Perhaps that's what I need. There was a philosopher, a French philosopher, who said something which I found very profound. We were at it was after the earthquake in Haiti, and we were with the students at Dartmouth, and the president of Dartmouth at that time, who is now the president of the World Bank, his name was Jim Kim, and he was partners with Paul Farmer, and they created what was called Partners in Health, and they worked in Haiti on drug-resistant tuberculosis in Haiti. It was one area that they specified in. And he... After the earthquake, the college had a lot of medical supplies that were being flown down within 24 hours, and doctors and nurses were going down to volunteer. And And this one professor said, you know, that he had read somewhere that a French philosopher said that if we look at all of these images and we can't, and we don't do anything, then that borders, he said, then that is, he said, voyeurism. Because if I'm just looking at these images and I don't do anything, and I don't have the ability perhaps to do anything, then what is the benefit for me in it? And that just personally resonated with me. It had made me think about those things. And from that time, I stopped. I had to discipline myself to stop. I can't look at images of dead human beings, of the carnage that we're seeing in our world over and over and over again, because I have to think about what is that doing to my heart? It's not selfish from my side, because at the same time, I then have to be able that if I hear about those things, or if I come to know about those things, then maybe the dua that I make is better than me just sitting there and looking at those things and then making that dua from my own heart. But again, that's just something that I work with and think about, because there's so much in this world right now, and it can become heavy on us. And the reason why I say that is because when I talk to people and they ask about, again, what about this thing, and 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 you're absolutely right. But the question is, how do you understand it from the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you understand it from the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. So again, what impact can I give? So again, the connection to this is starting off the day with these things, and I said, and trying, just me personally, trying to be that person that can that protects themselves from this. I just want to close quickly on this here, and then bring it to the end of the day, and just some of the practices there about reading some of the things to read when going to bed. Ayatul Kursi, right? Reading Ayatul Kursi and Amna Rasulu, the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, at the end of sleep, and the Mu'idhatayn and Ikhlas, reading the three quls, as we say, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Rabbin Nas. And the interesting thing about Ikhlas is the Prophet ﷺ, he asked the Sahaba, he said, how many of you can read a khatm of the Quran before going to bed each night? They said, Ya Rasulullah, this is difficult. He said, ﷺ, he said, read Qul Huwallahu Ahad three times, and it will be written for you as you've read a khatm of Quran each night. Because he said to read Ikhlas once is the equivalent of reading a third of the Quran. SubhanAllah. So this is why I'm saying, for me to get bogged down and caught up in those types of things, I can't be distracted to forget and miss that. Staying up and worrying about things that I can't change, that's all that I'm saying. And that's the path that I'm looking to get further and further and further in from, to get further and further away from. Because I've played this path, I've been down this path, I feel like now, after being back for almost now 14 years, after my studies, and realizing where I'm at, where I was, where I'm at, and where I want to be. And knowing that these are the things, and here's something else. Imam Zaid, I was with him. Or I wasn't with him, he told me of a group that he was with, and you know, they were all excited. Imam Zaid, tell us some stories about the end of time, and tell us some hadith about the end of time, and tell us some hadith about the Mahdi, tell us some hadith about the Masih al-Dajjal. He said, oh really? He said, yeah, yeah. He said, have you memorized the first 10 ayats of Surah Al-Kahf? They said, no. He said, well, why should I tell you? Because you don't believe he's coming anyway. You see what I mean about the distractions? If we want all of these novelties and all of these feel-good things, but yet we don't do the work. We don't do the work. The work is memorize the first 10 of Surah Al-Kahf. That means that you believe that the Dajjal is coming, and that you're taking the things to protect yourself from that onslaught if it comes in the time that you are alive. That's what this is about. Putting into perspective those things that are real, that we believe from our tradition, that are real. And pushing out those other things that really we don't have time for. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshaAllah. We'll end there. My apologies for going over. InshaAllah, we'll work on the next section. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll start on page 90, refraining from disobedience. Refraining from disobedience, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Do you want, yeah, alhamdulillah, take some questions, inshallah. I just want to be mindful of people's time.